This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. This is your friend, Joey Salazar. And as always, it's a privilege to be able to connect with you through these different episodes. Whether you've been tuning in for a while or this is your very first one with us, thank you so much for tuning in. We pray it be a blessing to your life. And special shout out to all those who have subscribed, to all those who are sharing these episodes, comments, quotes, messages with us. It really does make us just feel so encouraged and keep doing what we get to do. Well, hey, today I want to share with you something that has been on my heart. I've recently had an opportunity to speak at my home church here in Orlando, Florida, Journey Church, that is, over a subject that's very dear to my heart. I believe that I am a product of community, or rather the right community in my life. I believe all of us, we need to have a right circle. We need to have the right people around us. And in scripture, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. And I don't just think that is pointing to a romantic relationship or to a marriage relationship. I just think that speaks to relationships in general. I don't think we were created to be islands or be lone rangers or try to live life isolated, but I believe we were created for community. And on this particular Sunday that I got to speak, I spoke over the subject, we is greater than me, because little can be accomplished by one person. But when you and I get together, when we get connected, it actually, our impact gets multiplied. And so we is greater than me. I'm going to share with you a small portion of the message I was able to share that day with our church. But if you'd like to watch the entire message, you can actually go to our website, joeysalazar.org/videos. And you can watch the entire message there, as well as other messages as well. But again, I hope this message blesses your life. Again, we is greater than me. We'll catch you on the future episode. Have a good one, everybody.
I really believe that today we is greater than me. Because the truth of the matter is we live in a me society. Me society simply means we're inward focused. We want to take care of ourselves first. Hey, anybody else? You know what? Hey, you're kind of on your own. I'll kind of prove it to you here right now. Whenever you take a group photo and right before you're going to publish that photo online, who is the first person that you look at in that photo? Most of the time, it's yourself, right? It doesn't matter if the person next to you, their hair's not done right, if their one eye's closed. Bro, if you look good, you're posting that thing. We'll just say that he was winking at somebody. You know, I don't know. We'll add it in the caption, all right? But I know this, and yet still, I did it 2 weeks ago, not even on purpose, but I'm mentioning it now in the illustration, in the sermon, 2 weeks ago, because my wife and I, we celebrated our wedding anniversary. We just celebrated 12 years together. And I remember, you know, wanting to be so super intentional with our gifts and just even things online, because it didn't happen if it's not online. And so I was going to post about it online, and I was like, man, let me find the best photo. Let me work on a caption. I mean, I'm not a poet and stuff, but I try. And so I'm like looking for words that rhyme. I'm trying to remember things from our special day. And I looked through a whole bunch of photos and I pick one, and this is it. This is the one I ended up posting online. It looks something kind of like this. This is our wedding day. Here to my left, your right, it would be June. He's one of my best friends from Bible school. We still stay in contact to this day. Pastor JJ's in the back holding the black umbrella. All right, that's him back there. Not sure what he's looking at. Nonetheless, and then my younger, my only brother, Nathan. He is my younger but bigger brother. She's kind of like my little big brother. And that's Nathan right there. And that's me and my wife. And I remember that day, man, we had to persevere. And I feel like it's kind of become like a theme of our marriage. Like we've persevered through some stuff. And I'm like, man, this, what better photo to post than this one right here? Because like we rented this garden and we didn't even get to use it outside because thanks to Florida weather, it rained all day. And we were so upset. We had to make so many changes last minute. And so these were like some of the few photos we took even outside in the rain. Like it was crazy. But I'm like, you know what? If there's no better photo than to really represent, highlight our marriage than this one. So I said, look, babe, man, I posted this earlier in the morning. It's going viral, bro. It's like 35 likes already. And it's just like crazy. I show it to her. And she didn't have a smile on her face. I'm like, it's because you haven't read the caption yet. She read the caption and she wasn't smiling yet either. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, why'd you pick that photo? I'm like, babe, look at the symbolic meaning behind it. I feel like it preaches. She's like, didn't you notice I'm not wearing any shoes in this photo? And I was like, oh my gosh, I never even looked at her feet. Because I was just making sure that I look good, you know? I'm making sure that the words were good. Because we live in a me society. And I didn't even do that on purpose, but sometimes it just comes so naturally. And then I was like, babe, can I show it to the whole church? And so thank you for letting me show it. Nonetheless, I believe God's calling us to trade the me for the we. This idea that, hey, I can do this by myself. Hey, you know what? I don't need anybody else. Hey, I'm called to be a lone ranger. Hey, everybody for themselves. No, I believe God, and it's supported through scripture of what the church is supposed to be like. And I want to share with you a couple of verses today of what the church is supposed to be like and what God is calling us to. And so in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we're going to look back today a little bit to the first church, the early church, the church that started this whole movement. The Bible says that there were 120 gathered in an upper room, in a small auditorium, and the Holy Spirit descended on the 120, and the church was established then. And then Peter, one of the disciples, stands up full of the authority and the Holy Spirit of God. He begins to preach the gospel, and the Bible says that almost 3,000 people get saved in that one message. Sometimes I think we read stories a little bit. We read the Bible a little bit too fast. I always want to encourage you to approach the scripture, not with doubt necessarily, but with curiosity. Like I read this and I'm like, 3,000 people? First of all, what sound system were they using? First of all, how could they even communicate to that many people if they didn't have this technology we had today, right? So it gets your mind thinking because you're like, man, some of these miracles are even so much greater than what we even think that they are because, again, we read it too fast sometimes. But the Bible says that they make a commitment to Christ, almost 3,000 people, and that's step one. Notice how I said step one, because you accepting Christ, you surrendering your heart to him, that is step one. But that's not the whole thing right there. Salvation isn't necessarily where it stops. Salvation is where it starts. That you accepting God into your life, inviting him to surrendering your life over to him, that's definitely step one. But there's another commitment that the early church made that made all the difference in their lives. And the Bible says in Acts chapter, let's read 41 and then we'll read 42 again. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves. We're going to stop right there. As the Bible says, they devoted themselves. When was the last time you used that word, devoted? Devoted simply means to commit to. Devoted simply means, hey, to continue to give of yourself or to focus on it. And that's what salvation is, right? We're giving of ourselves over to the Lord. But that's not the only thing that God is calling us to commit to or be devoted to. And to the person who would say, well, I don't know. I'm just not a very devoted person. I'm not a very consistent person. I'm not a very, I don't know, like I don't do that like everybody else. I would push back on that. And I'll say, hey, we're all devoted. We just may be devoted to different things. For example, we're devoted to the gym. Correction, I'm not devoted. You're devoted to the gym. You never miss a Monday. You never miss posting about it, right? That you know, that post is burns 2 more calories. I've realized that. We're devoted to Netflix. It's okay if it's quiet. Because we will finish that series. We will be loyal. Hey, we started it as a family. We're finishing it, right? Like, whoa. Chill out, brother. We'll finish series. We'll finish other projects. We're devoted to sports. Oh, man, we will work our schedule around sports, some of us. Who's counting, right? Only 44 days to the NBA playoffs, to the NBA season kicks off, right? We're devoted to those things. We're devoted to friends. devoted to family. We're devoted to our job. We're devoted to things. I think what the question that it begs to offer is, the things though that we are devoted to, are they making a positive impact in our lives? So the truth is, we're all devoted to something, but are we devoted to the right things? And the Bible says that they devoted themselves to these things, to the apostles' teaching, which is this right here. It's godly teaching, but it's also, they were devoted to the fellowship and the breaking of bread. And the Bible says, and to prayer. Notice also how the Bible says that it was the breaking of bread, not the breaking of kale. I'm just saying, all right? If we go out to eat, if I go over to your house, don't give me none of this salad, this kale stuff, all right? I follow the word of God. The Bible says they ate bread, all right? So I don't know who that was for. That might be the loudest amen all I get today. But that's fine, all right? It's the breaking of bread. In the Greek, though, that word fellowship is translated to koinonia, and it actually means community. So get this. It's a commitment to Christ, but it's also a commitment to community. And it's both of these things in their lives that sets them up for success. It's both of those things that come to be a blessing in their lives. And I think too many of us, if we're not careful, hey, we're good to commit to Christ, but when it comes to community, when it comes to surrounding ourselves with the right people, when it comes to just letting people kind of speak into our lives, man, sometimes we don't always win there. And I want to challenge us through scripture today that we would be intentional, that we would be focused on what God has for our lives. And so there's a couple of blessings. There's a couple of benefits that happen when we trade the me for the we. Now, I'm going to give you these 3 points. Now, I'm going to let you know, here's a disclaimer. They sound weird, all right? Grammatically, they almost don't make sense, but I promise you they're going somewhere. For example, the first one is we are more committed than me. We together are more committed than me. Have you ever realized that commitment just lasts longer in community? Have you ever tried to establish a new habit? Have you ever tried to eat right? There's a difference doing it by yourself versus knowing that someone's going to check up on you. Here, a couple of years ago, I started developing the habit of running. And it happened specifically during the pandemic. We were all home and quarantined, and it was cool. I had my shoes, I got the app, I started running around the community, and then we got a dog that would run with me. That was my running partner. Her name is Layla, and it was great. Then some time goes by and I started feeling like I was losing that passion, that energy, that drive. Some time later, it came time for us. We sold our house and where we were going, we couldn't take our dog necessarily. And we had one dog there, but we couldn't take both dogs. And so we asked a friend of ours, hey, do you mind watching our dog for some time? And she was kind enough to say yes. And what's interesting is that I said this, and I was recently reminded I said this. I said something along the lines of, well, hey, I guess since my running partner's going away, Layla, I guess I'm not gonna be running anymore for some time soon. And it's crazy the power that words can have over your life. Because I said that, and sure enough, like my desire went away. I wasn't as committed. It just took so much more work. And a lot of weeks would pass by at times before I would run again. Long story short, 6 months passed, and we get our house. We're moving in. It's time to go pick up Layla. And our friend Jasmine, who was watching our dog, happens to remember that phrase I'd said and says, not in a confronting way or in a mean way, but says something along the lines of, hey, now that you got your running partner back, I guess you're going to start running again. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right, you know? I was like, I did say that, didn't I? And then God was so kind enough to me that in my summer small group, a group of men that we had the chance to lead and get together, there was one guy in particular. I don't even think I asked him to be my accountability partner. I just kind of said, hey, you're my unofficial, official accountability partner, and I'm gonna start sending pictures of you, and I need you to ask me if I'm running and all these things. And it was crazy, excuse me, because I saw the difference of when I was trying to run by myself versus when I was trying to when I did something, when I was trying to run in community. And there's a huge difference that happens. And I wonder if maybe that's why sometimes our faith kind of gets a little bit weak, because we're trying to do it by ourselves rather than trying to do this with people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I just want to let you know something, that hey, we are better together. That's a saying that we are running with in small group season this semester. And it's not just a nice, cute saying. I believe it's a principle and it's a truth. Hey, when we come together, our commitment can just last so much longer. And so your homework today is to make a friend. Find somebody, find a group of people who you have something in common with, and start there. I do this often in the lobby. If you're wearing something from the Los Angeles Lakers, if you have a logo, if it's a basketball or something, it's very possible that I'm gonna go and I'm gonna try to talk to you. We're gonna pray together for the Lakers. But then we're gonna cheer together and maybe cry. But I'll look for things that people have that I can recognize. I wanna encourage you. Maybe you're checking in your kids at Journey Kids. If there's a family next to you also doing the same, guess what? You both have kids in Journey Kids. You have something in common. If you join a team, guess what? You're both on that team. You have something in common. I'll make it super practical. Whoever you park next to outside in the parking lot, you have something in common. You're sharing some property there, you know? That might be silly and all, but I really believe that God's called us to be in community. And some people might say, well, you know what? It's just that I'm an introvert. And I can respect that, because I myself at my core, this might be kind of shocking as a pastor, but I too am an introvert. It doesn't come as easy as maybe what you think or expect it to be, to go out and connect and just be relatable and things like that. But it's something that I know that I need. And so I've actually worked on it. I love reading books, and so I'll develop myself in these areas. Here's a couple of books that I read. One of them is How to Make Friends and Influence People. Wow. Like, it's straight in the title. It's not even hiding it. Another book I read was 92 Ways to Talk to People. And so it's 92 little phrases that are great conversation starters. The last one, don't get offended on this one. I promise I love you, but it's called Help, I Work with People. It was written by a pastor. And so, but I was intentional to work on myself, because I know of the power that it can do in my life. And honestly, it just reminds me that we're better when we come together. I'm reminded of the paralyzed individual in the book of Luke chapter 5. We won't read it now. He had a need. He wanted to get to Jesus. Couldn't get there by himself. And so what does he do? He surrounds himself with four friends. The Bible doesn't say their names. It doesn't say what education level, how much money they make. All it says is that they were men of great faith. And I think those are the type of people that we need in our lives, because we are definitely more committed when we are in the right community.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joy Salazar Leadership Podcast.